This chapter number 8. Book of Exodus, chapter number 8. I want to read some verses here. Try our best to give you what's on our heart. Pray that the Lord will help us tonight. Had this thought kind of stirring on my heart this afternoon. Began to read some scripture here, and the Lord began to work in me, and I want to just give them to you. I won't keep you very long, I don't think, tonight. And I don't know how much preaching we'll do. It may seem more like instruction, but I want to try my best to follow the direction, the leadership of the Spirit of God, and pray that it will help your hearts and encourage us and strengthen us in these days we're living in. Exodus chapter 8, when you found your place, if you're able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence under the reading of the Word of God. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to deal tonight with the thought or the subject of knowing what's real and what's not. I thought about the scripture here, and in reality the record here is the contest, if that's what you have it, or the standoff between Moses and Pharaoh. God has raised up Moses, and of course we all know the story and its content. Through the miraculous deliverance of God, Moses has grew up in Pharaoh's house. He has departed. He slew an Egyptian that was smiting a Hebrew. Moses found himself on the backside of the desert, right where God wanted him to be, tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep, and finds himself there in the presence of God. In the midst of the burning bush, God speaks to Moses about his mission, spends 40 years on the backside of the desert, comes out ready and equipped to lead the people of God out. God warns Moses before he ever goes that it's not going to be an easy thing, but that God will harden the heart of Pharaoh, and that he will execute judgment upon Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt, and show himself to be God. Now Moses has come under the direction of God with Aaron at his side. Moses, of course, there at the bush, speaks to God, questions how that he is supposed to lead Israel out, how that he's supposed to approach Pharaoh, how that he is not strong in speech, but he has a stammering tongue, and God speaks to Moses and says, Aaron will speak for you. And so Moses and Aaron now go together unto Pharaoh and demand that God says to let his people go. Of course, God had already told Moses, as he said, that Pharaoh would not hearken unto the voice of Moses and Aaron. And through Pharaoh's hardness of heart, God began to judge the land of Egypt, the people of Egypt, Pharaoh, and the gods of Egypt. And here in the scripture plagues, we all know well about them are brought upon the land of Egypt. And it's interesting unto me that we're now, and I read into your hearing verses 16 through 19, is the plague now upon the land of Egypt that the magicians could not do. It is the third plague that's been brought upon the land of Egypt, but the magicians before now have been able to copy everything that Moses and Aaron are doing by the help and the power of God. That they walk in, Moses and Aaron do, and demand that God said to let their people go. Pharaoh asks the question, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let his people go? The Bible said that God spoke to Moses to speak to Aaron to cast down his rod. And when Aaron did so, it became a serpent. And the Bible said that the magicians of Egypt did also with their enchantment. Then the Bible said that God spoke to Moses and Aaron to smite the water and it became blood. And the Bible said that the magicians did so also with their enchantment. Then the Bible said that God brought frogs upon the land out of the water. They were everywhere in the kneading troughs, in the beds, in the kitchens of the land of Egypt. And the Bible said that the magicians did so also with their enchantment. And now we read in the scripture that lice are brought upon the land. And I read in your hearing tonight, the Bible said in verse number 18 that the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. There came a day that there was a separation and a distinction between the real power of God and the fakeness of the world, if you will. I understand tonight that this is not a popular subject to preach about, but I feel like in these last days that there's probably no greater subject for the people of God to understand than to understand what is real and what is fake in these last days. Much in the scriptures said about it. Christ himself, when he was on the earth, warned his disciples to beware of false prophets that come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Paul said that after his departed, grievous wolves would come in, not sparing the flock, and they slip in unawares. It was said so about Paul's description in the last days that they would come in unawares, these deceivers, these seducers, and they would lead captive many by their deception. Because it is in our day a great deal of difficulty, seemingly in the church age, to discern the real from the fake. But if we go at it based upon the scriptures and what the Bible has to say about it, it will become easy with the help and the grace of God to know what's real in our day and what is not, and to help us not to be deceived in this great day of deception that we're living in. Right. I thought about what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18. He said, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. But they went out from us, but they were not of us. In this day, there are many that have went out from the church, but they are not of the church. There are many that are clothed in the cloak of religion, but they are not of God. And Paul or John goes on to say, for if they had been of us, then would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And he says in verse number 20, but ye, that is the people born again by the grace of God, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That is not that we know everything there is to know, but by the discernment of the power of God, we can know
what's real and what's not. Now to the people of Egypt, the magician seemed real. When they could fake, when they could copy the miracles that God was doing. And we're in a day where there is, now you hear me well, there is an element of truth in every deception. There is a form. That's what Paul said, that they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. That means to refuse it, to turn away from it, that they would work in their own power. And that is what the magicians were doing. They were working in their own power, and it fooled many by their enchantments. But I'm telling you, there came a day when the fake was brought to light and the real stood true, and it will be the same even in these last days. I thought about the fake here and what the magicians were doing. I want to tell you some things that God put on my heart about the fake and then about the real. I'll go through them real quick and then we'll go home. The fake is always about show. Always about show. It is always wrapped up in them. The Bible said that the magicians did so with their enchantments. The word enchantment in the Hebrew means a flame or a flash. And in this day, fake is all about the flashy things of this life. It is easy to draw a crowd with the flashy things of this life. But when it comes down to the end, the flash will burn out. The flame will burn out of this world, and they'll be left destined for a devil's hell if they don't get right. If their eyes are not opened by the power of God, then they will die without God in deception. The Bible said there are many deceivers, and they're waxing worse and worse in these last days. I thought about, and I'm not a big proponent of social media, but I read something, I don't know when it was, today or yesterday maybe, but it's talking about Joel Osteen and this big religious movement, and that's all they are. They've got a good dose of religion, and it was the same in Jesus' day. He warned about the Pharisees and the hypocrites. He said they do what they do to be seen of men. It's all about show. And he said they've got their reward. He said on the outward they look like whited sepulchers, but inwardly they are full of dead men's bones. And that is the great religious movement of our day. Religion does nothing more, according to scriptures, than make a man twofold more a child of hell. I thought about his talking to Brother Oakley months ago, maybe even a couple of years ago, and he talking about one of them old-timers up there. When it came time for baptism, he said, I don't want to baptize you unless you really know that you've been born again. He said, if I baptize you on a false profession or just a dose of religion, he said, it'd be twice as hard to shake you off of what I'm baptizing you into. And that's what religion does. It deceives the mind. It pulls the mind away from the things of God. It wraps itself up in itself, and it leads men and women straight to the pits of the damned. And so that's why it's fundamentally needful in our day to be able, by the help of God, to discern what's real from what ain't. Amen. That's right. It's all about show. All about their self. Now I was reading about this great religious movement, and I was reading some lines from a message, if that's what you want to call it, that Joel's, I don't even like to use the word preach because he ain't no preacher. Everybody that says they are ain't. But I'm glad that there is preachers in this day, and it takes the calling of God and the oaks and the Holy Ghost for a man to be a preacher and to preach the word of God. Not everybody that stands is a preacher. Not all the words from behind the pulpit is preaching, but everything that has the touch and the power of God, regardless of the denomination, regardless of the education, regardless of the garments that the man is wearing, if it has a touch of God, it's the preaching of the word of God.
That's right.
It don't matter about delivery. It don't matter about the dress. And I'm not promoting, you know, being out of line. But I thought about, you know, we went and we knew it was going to be working. We tried to pack, you know, old clothes and stuff. And I told my wife, I said, we're just going to go. That's what I thought. I said, we're just going to go, you know, and sit in service. I said, just pack me a pair of dress pants and a shirt, and that'll be good enough. I don't wear a tie or a coat or anything like that. But it ain't in that. And Brother Oakley called on me to preach, and I didn't know that I was going to be preaching. But you know, it's just as easy with the help of God to preach without a tie and without dress shoes on as it is to preach tonight. You say, why? It ain't about the clothes. It's about the cloak of the calling. That's all that really matters. And that's what really separates the real from the fake.
Right, brother.
And I was reading some lines, and I can't remember all there was in it, but it was from a message or whatever you want to call it that he spoke in his auditorium. I think maybe he titled it I Am or something like that. And he used the points, you know, I am loved. I am good. I am this. I am worthy. I am that. And then on the other side it had the Apostle Paul, and he said, I am wretched. And that's exactly right. The religious world is wrapped up in the self. They want glory within the self. The fake stuff of this world is all about the lights being on the self. But Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. And he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It ain't about the delivery. It ain't about the outline. It ain't about the show. But it's about the power of God. That's what separates the real from the fake.
Amen,
the fake's all about show. These magicians did so with their enchantments. Then there's the reality that the fake will not last. For when they did their enchantments and made their rods become serpents, then the Bible said that Aaron's rod swallowed up their serpents. It won't last. Oh, it may last for a period of time, but there'll come a time. I thought about, and he wasn't even a Christian, but he knew enough about it to know. Oh, Gamaliel over there in the New Testament, when they were persecuting the apostles and had arrested them and wanted to put them to death, he said, leave the men alone. He said, if it is of men, it will come to naught. He began to name others that had great followings, and he said, it all fizzled out. But he said, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. I'm glad in this day to know that what I have is not of man, but it is of God. If it is of man, it will fail, it will end, it will come to naught. But if it is of God, it will last in this day. So it won't last. Then I thought in reality, and I've already mentioned, I'm just trying to give you what's on my heart tonight. The fake stuff, it don't help anybody. I got to reading and thinking. Moses, by the command of God, brought plagues upon Egypt. He smelt the water and made it bad. And everything in the water died. The Bible said the fish that were therein died, and the water stank, and they could not drink it. Now you would think that if the magicians wanted to help their people, if they were interested in anything but their soul, that they would show their power not by making more water blood, but by turning the blood back into water. But they weren't interested in helping the people. They was only interested in themselves, and it didn't help anybody. So instead of helping their people and turning that blood back to water, they made more of the water blood, and it hurt more people than it helped. And I'm going to tell you, in this day, this fake religion, these false professions, this false doctrine, false gospels, and it never has been any different. It was the same in Paul's day. He wrote the church at Galatia. He said, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed to another gospel, which is not another. There is no other gospel. Matter of fact, Paul said, if even an angel comes down from heaven and preaches to you anything but the truth, he said, let him be accursed and receive him not. He didn't say make friends with him. He didn't say just pal around and don't discuss theology. He said let him be accursed and shut him, turn him away. Don't have anything to do with him.
That's the need. That's the reality. That's the danger of falsehood in this day. When Moses and Aaron, by the help of God, made frogs come up on the land, the magicians could have, by their power, sent the frogs away. But instead of doing that to help their people, they made more frogs come up on the land. Why? Because the faith will never help anybody. Never. It'll never help anybody. And so they proved themselves here in the scriptures by doing so. With their enchantments, they made things worse and worse and worse, and it could not fix anything. Matter of fact, in chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible said, even after the magicians did so with their enchantments, that Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from the land. He said, my magicians might be able to copy, but they can't help us. They can't fix our problems. And I'm telling you, in this day, religion in the mainstream way cannot fix any problem that we have. The only problem fixer is God. There's nowhere else to go. I think about old Peter, and we're hard on him a lot of times, but there's a lot of times he had it right. By the help of God, as the people walked away and followed no more, and Jesus said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who else is there? Where else is there? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So the fake will never fix anything. The fake can't help anybody. The fake is always out for show. The fake always makes things worse. But then it got to stirring in my soul this evening, and I'm about done. In a world full of fake, thank God for the real thing. I'm glad that I've been around the real thing. Thank God for real preaching. I'm glad it'll still work in this day. We don't need clubs and games and skits and dramas and Bible schools and all these things. We just need the preaching of the Word of God. If that can't get the job done, we don't have no hope. We might as well close our Bible and go to the house, because that's the method chosen by God. The Bible said it pleased God. Preach it in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost is what pleases God. And nothing else. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's power in preaching. There's a pleasing factor in the sight of God in preaching. There are products produced by real preaching. The Bible said to the world, it is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If the light of the gospel, it is shed abroad in all of our hearts to give us the knowledge of the truth. I'm glad tonight to know about real preaching. I'm glad I've sent under it. I'm glad I've been a recipient of real preaching in this day. And I'm going to tell you something, and I know you know it. And I may just be licking the calf over again, but I'm going to say it because it's on my heart. They don't have to sweat and slobber and holler like I do. I've heard men stand behind the pulpit and never move and never hardly raise their voice very high and feel the touch of God stirring in my heart and knew it was real preaching. I've seen men, a matter of fact, one's coming to my mind right now, and I know he's God's man. Brother Larry Winkler carries a notebook with him to the pulpit, and you'll watch him four or five times through the message. He'll flip the page many times while he's preaching. He'll read things off the paper, but I felt the stirring and the touch and the power of God in my heart. And you say, why? It's not about the deliverer. It's not about the man. It's not about the method. It really isn't even about the message per se, but it's about the power of God on a man. That's what signifies real from fake.
Amen, brother.
If you hear a man and hear a man and hear a man, I'm not talking about being a judge, but I do know what the scripture says, that if you're saved, you have an unction from the Holy One, an understanding, a discernment. You hear a man and hear a man and hear a man and never can get hooked up with a man, and something always seems off. There's a reason for that. And I'm telling you, better heed what you feel on the inside if the feelings are backed up by the facts of the Word of God. But I'm glad for every time I've said in the holy power of God through the preaching of the Word of God by a man of God. That's helped my heart. Yeah. Glad for real preaching. I want to say I'm glad for real praying. He's fake praying too in this day. The prophets of Baal did it. Oh, they prayed from morning to evening, but it was fake because they had a fake God. And there's a whole lot of people in this day that they're praying, but their praying ain't real. But I'm going to tell you about praying. It touches the heart of God. Real praying. Ain't that something? I mean, that stirred my heart today. Did something down on the inside of me to know that there are times that I've bowed my head and not saying anything good about me or bragging about me, but the Holy Ghost has helped me pray real praying, and I know that it's touched the heart of God. What a blessing. I'm going to tell you something about real praying. Real praying takes humility. It ain't nothing about us. Jesus said, don't pray like the Pharisees and the hypocrites standing in the streets, using long prayers, big swelling words, vain repetition. But he said, when you pray, enter into your secret place, and you pray in secret to your Father which seeth and heareth in secret. And that same Father that we work together in secret will reward thee openly. I'm glad for real praying. I've been a recipient of a touch from real praying. I've thought about services that I've come in this place and other places. Come in and felt like there's no way I could ever preach. And then some dear saint of God in the building get called on to pray. And the power of the Lord fall and give me courage and a boldness to stand and preach. You say, what is it, preacher? It's real praying. And then there have been times myself, we've gathered up around the altar and I've went down with nothing and come up with a touch of glory in my soul. You say, what is it, preacher? It's real praying, and it will work in this day. Then I thought about real praising. I'm glad there's some real worship. I'm glad I've been in on it. I'm glad I've been around it. There's a whole lot of worked up and stirred up. Flip a switch and call it worship, but that ain't worship. Jesus said true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And I'm glad for real worship. I'm glad for the times that it's felt like the door swung open, the Holy Ghost has come through the door. I'm glad for the times that the hair will stand up on the back of your neck and chill bumps go down your spine. You say you're talking a lot about feeling. It ain't all in feeling, but I'm going to tell you, when you worship, there's a feeling behind true worship that cannot be compared to anything else in this life. I'm glad for it. I'm glad I've been in on it. Glad I've experienced it in this day. True worship, true praise. And then I thought, and it kind of goes together, I guess, with praise and worship. And we're about afraid to say that. We've let this contemporary movement scare us, but it is right to praise and worship God. And we don't need a worship leader. We've already got one. His name's the Holy Ghost. And when He stirs your heart to worship, you can worship. I'm glad for a true profession. We're afraid of that word in this day too, because a lot of people are making professions. But you know, the word profession, I got to studying it today, and it just means an open declaration of what God's done for you. You say, is a profession necessary? Well, it's biblical. It is biblical to tell what God has done for you. You say, show me in the Scripture. I can. And in the New Testament too. There's a day Jesus is going with Jairus to his house to touch his daughter who's dead. And while he's going, there comes a woman with an issue of blood. And she presses her way through the crowd. She spent all she had, spent all her living, didn't get no better, but rather grew worse. But she heard Jesus was coming. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And the Bible said she reached out and touched him, and immediately she was made whole. She had an experience with him. The Bible said Jesus stood still and said, who touched me? And the disciples questioned him. Said, Lord, in our terminology, they said the multitude is strong in thee. What they said is everybody's touching you. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, it's not so much that somebody touched me, but I've touched them. He said, I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And he knew who it was. He wasn't asking because he didn't know. And I think he asked loud enough that she heard the question, "Who touched me?" For the Bible said she came trembling and fell down and told them all the truth. One, the gospel said she started at the beginning and told them why it was that she had touched him and what was done unto her. What did she do? She made a profession. She gave an open declaration of what had happened to her on that day. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever have an experience with God, you'll have something to tell. You will have a profession. It may not come out every service. It may not be like anybody else's, but that doesn't matter. She didn't worry about everybody else, but she just told what had happened unto her. The Apostle Paul, he had an experience with the Lord on the road to Damascus. And in the book of Acts, three times it's recorded that Paul makes a profession. And it's a true profession. You say, how do you know it's true? Because every time he tells it, it gets less about him and more about God. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, I think it is, he begins to tell as he traveled to the road to Damascus. He said, there shone a light from heaven. And he said, I fell down to the ground and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And we all know the story. Then Paul gets a chance to tell it again. And the first time he told it, he said, there's a light out of heaven. And the second time he said, there's a great light came out of heaven. Then he tells it again in the book of Acts. And he said, there's a light brighter than the noonday sun. It got more and more about God and less about Paul. And I'm going to tell you, the more you ponder, and I really think that's the reason. I'm just giving you my thoughts tonight and I'm done. Based upon my own experience, the more I ponder about what God did for me, the more I come to the realization how unworthy I was and how wonderful He is that He would come to where I was and save me from hell. Do what was read in the Sunday school hour this morning. Pick me up out of the horrible pit and set my feet on a rock and establish my going. And every time I think about it, I think about how wonderful He really is. Thank God for some. I've heard some of you give your profession. Some of you I've heard more than others, not glorifying you or putting anybody at a level above somebody else. Thank God for everyone I've heard. But the ones I've heard more and more, it just seems to get richer every time. You say, why? Because the more you tell it, the better it is. It's kind of like the writer said, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I thought about, and I'm done tonight. They sung that song one year at camp meeting in Kentucky. And it's a good song. Preacher Milby come to the podium after. He said, I don't think he's getting any sweeter because he don't change. But he said, I think our taste buds are shaping up. And I believe that's right. The more you experience of God, the more you realize how undeserving you are and how great a God He is. And He really does become sweeter to you. It's not really that God's becoming any sweeter, but the sweeter He grows to us. Thank God for the real thing. I'm glad in a world full of falsehood and deception, I'm glad to have been a recipient and know about, not saying I know everything, but I know I've been in the real thing. And I'm glad I know what the real thing is. And it don't take too long of being around some people to know whether they're real or whether they're not. Thank God tonight we can know about the real thing. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege and the opportunity to have been